We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max, News Radio 830 WCCO. Boy, what a show we've already had. Jerry Kill, going to be the athletic director at Southern Illinois now, joined us. Ryan Lawton was in studio. Frank Ragnow from Arkansas, going to get drafted, will be on with us. Ron Scherer will join us. He went to turkey hunting with Mike Zimmer today. Joining us right now, one of our favorites, Matt Burke, who is going into the Crete and Durham Hall of Fame in May. And coming up May 16th, I think it is. I'm going to emcee the event, Matt, and as I looked at the list, I don't know that there's a school in Minnesota that would have had a more difficult time picking their first class to go to the Crete and Durham Hall of Fame. There's guys that have made millions playing professional sports that didn't make it, just to give people an idea.
Well, it's, I'm not sure how I necessarily made it on that list, but, Max, anytime someone wants to give me an award, I'll show up.
Why not? Especially from Crete and this is Crete and Durham Hall, as opposed to when it was just Crete, and this is a new Hall of Fame established. But, I mean, we're talking about first-round picks. I mean, it's just amazing to me the people that got in and the people that didn't get in. They'll get in, obviously, these people down the road as well. But, my gosh, Matt, it is amazing that in Minnesota a school has produced that much talent, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think, I think that speaks to the community. And it's just so many opportunities to play in St. Paul. And, I mean, Creighton's been fortunate to produce some great athletes and has a great tradition.
Yeah, for sure. Matt, it's draft night, and the quarterbacks are kings. Not that you didn't know this already. Baker Mayfield goes number one overall to Cleveland. The Giants take Saquon Barkley from Penn State. Then the Jets take Darnold and obviously quarterback from USC, Denzel Ward. Cornerback goes to Cleveland with their second pick. Denver's up next. They go with Bradley Chubb, defensive end from North Carolina State. Indianapolis grabs Quentin Nelson, much coveted guard from Notre Dame. The Buffalo Bills made a trade so that they could get Josh Allen out of Wyoming as their next quarterback, perhaps, or at least quarterback in waiting. What as you look at draft night and all that goes into it, what's it like for a player? What's it like for an organization tonight when you're putting pen to paper and you're saying we sign off as Baker Mayfield, for example, being the franchise guy that's going to take us out of this?
As a player, it's two things. I mean, you're super nervous because, I mean, the team that drafts you, that's where you're going to probably spend the next 4 or 5 years of your life, maybe longer, it's a new chapter. But I think you also have to look back and reflect and just say how grateful you are for the opportunity. Great chance to thank all the people that helped get you there. Nobody gets there by themselves, obviously. And you should be proud because this is an opportunity. I mean, talent alone in football does not get you to be a first round draft pick. I mean, you have to work your tail off. So you should be proud because you created this opportunity for you. And for the teams, it's interesting. I mean, you mentioned the quarterbacks. We know that there's drafting a quarterback in the first round. You've got about a 5 or 6% chance of him being, your franchise quarterback for the next 10 years, but it's such an important position. Teams are willing to roll the dice and take guys. I mean, is Baker Mayfield the best player in this draft? No, but so few, there's just not enough quarterbacks to go around in the NFL. And you look at just how fortunate teams are that have a quarterback that they feel like is good enough to get them to the Super Bowl. I mean, you look at, the Giants, they get to take Barkley. I mean, he's a pretty safe pick. He's a dynamic player. Bradley Chubb from NC State. I mean, he's a great player. Roquan Smith is a great pick for Chicago. If you can play linebacker and dominate in the SEC, you're going to be able to play in the NFL. So you're able to add those safer, more solid picks. But if you don't have a quarterback, you've got to take your chances.
Well, in Mayfield, when you hear his name get linked to Drew Brees, people saying he's got that kind of future. I guess if you lock into that and you buy into that, then it's pretty easy to convince yourself when you see Drew Brees' body of work. I mean, not that he's going to be Drew Brees, but if you believe that, that's all that matters, right?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I mean, yeah, you know, you're talking about Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers. I mean, these guys are not, you know, these guys don't come around every year. They're like once-in-a-decade kind of guys. You know, I mean, I understand that they're saying the comparisons because he might be a little shorter and some of the things, but... You know, and Baker Mayfield would tell you this too. He's got miles to go before he should be even mentioned in the same breath as Drew Brees. But that's, you know, I mean, that's part of the fun, right? This is a chance for us to talk football again and, start thinking about it. So, you know, what the heck? Let's just throw logic and reason out the window and just go after it, you know?
Josh Rosen goes to the Cardinals, so he'll be hooked up with Larry Fitzgerald. And, of course, Sam Bradford's already there, so probably a pretty good situation. Bradford, they hope, can hold down the fort early. And then groom Rosen, who's a sharp, sharp kid out of UCLA there that created a lot of fanfare in his lead up to the draft with some of his outspoken statements. But, you know, Matt, when you were being interviewed, et cetera, and they're considering drafting you, and everybody has their own opinions and they have the way that they're supposed to be interviewed. How did you go about it? And what do you think that these players, how should you go about it? How much of yourself should you reveal?
Yeah, well, I was 20 years ago. So it's different. Teams are definitely doing a lot more of the interviewing and due diligence, and you have all the social media stuff. They know a lot more about you now. But I think it's just be yourself, you know, and everybody knows that these players are prepped and teams know that, and they're very polished and give prepared answers. But, you know, I think be yourself, you know, because at the end of the day, you want to go to a place where it's a good fit for you. You know, you don't want to put up a facade and try to be something you're not, because sooner or later, I mean, you know, it's not going to take real long before your true character and personality is going to be revealed. So be yourself you know, it's kind of just a rule of life, not just football, but be who you are and you kind of end up where you're supposed to be.
But you were not afraid, outspoken might be too strong a word, but you weren't afraid to stay true to your convictions. You lived through the Love Boat and everything else with the Minnesota Vikings. Did you ever think that you jeopardized a contract or your career by being yourself?
I don't think so, because, you know, again, if you have to be somebody else, you're not going to be happy, and that's going to affect your overall well-being, but also your performance. So just, you know, be who you are. That doesn't mean you just do whatever you want. I mean, you still have to be respectful, and a football team is an incredible study on team dynamics when you have 53 alpha males that have to come together, and pretty much all of them have to take a subservient or less than optimal role. You know, you can only have a couple stars on the team and all go towards the goal. But, you know, John Harbaugh was great at it. You know, he used to always tell us just, hey man, let your personality shine, you know, be who you are. And we want you, if you're a loud guy, be loud, you know, be that guy, be that character. But you know, also when it's time to work and buckle down, it's time to work. And I just think that, I think players appreciate that. It's great for the culture. It's great for the culture in the locker room. Guys don't have to worry about trying to be something they're not, and they can focus more on the task at hand.
When you were a veteran and the first rounder would come each year, the one or two or whatever it was, what does a veteran want from that first round draft pick? What do you want him to be seen and not heard? What do you want?
Yeah, keep your mouth shut. You know, go to work and understand that understand you really don't know much. And I think if guys are like that, then veterans are very willing to help them out when it's appropriate, when they can handle it. I mean, everybody, their first couple weeks in the NFL, they don't know which end is up, and they struggle like they've never struggled before, and that's part of the process. You have to do that. You kind of have to get broken down, and you know, coaches, especially if you're a high draft pick, coaches are going to be over coaching you. You know, as a veteran, you just kind of stay away and sort of just let it let all that sort of sort itself out for a while. And then when the rookie can start to breathe again, you know, you might just pull them aside. Just give them one little tidbit that might happen. You know, they don't try to go big picture with them, because they're just trying to survive play to play. Just give them one little tidbit here, one little tidbit there, and help them along, because you know what, we've all been there. We all know what it's like to come in on the first day and just struggle mightily. And you know, it's a little bit hard to watch, but at the same time, you know, if it's a high round, if it's a high draft pick, guy's getting millions of dollars.
Yeah, and he ain't going anywhere soon. They're gonna admit, they don't want to look bad, right?
That's right. He's got a guaranteed 2 or 3 years, no matter what.
Now, when you first came to the Vikings, Jeff Christie was the center, a veteran center. Randall McDaniel was there, etc. Who did you learn from? What do you remember? Was there one person that you kind of sought out?
Yeah, Mike Tice told me, you know, Jeff Christie. So you sit by him in meetings. If he asks a question, you ask a question. If he's taking notes, you're taking notes. You'll be like him. And Jeff was a guy that he was a little undersized, had to get by on toughness and smarts, and really had found a great niche for himself in the Viking system. So, and Jeff and I roomed together, and he was just really forthcoming with all sorts of knowledge. And I mean, it was a huge influence on me as a young player, and gave me a lot of confidence, you know, because just because Jeff, who he was and what he was as a player, I thought, well, if Jeff can do it, then if I do things the right way, I'll be able to do it as well.
Now, when I saw you a couple weeks ago, you were a mantra. It was a really fun panel discussion for the Catholic Athletic Association, although all coaches could have benefited from this. And you had Brooks Bollinger there and Rich Gannon and Brian Bonin. It was an interesting, Johnny Tower, it was an interesting couple of hours. Explain what that was and what you're doing in the community.
Yeah, it's for the Catholic School Centers of Excellence. We're trying to reclaim the culture around youth sports. You know, we've kind of lost our way with this. It's gotten out of control with the win at all costs mentality and specialization and travel teams. And you know what? I guess if your goal, if you want to try to make your kid into a D1 athlete, you know, I guess that's your business. But most kids, most kids aren't going to go D1, and most kids, it's better for them if they just have a place to play. You know, just have a place to play where they can have fun with their friends, where they can work hard, where they can get better, but it's not 5 days a week, and it's not traveling out of town for tournaments. So we just kind of want to get everybody sort of refocused in again and recalibrated to, you know, what's the goal here? I mean, really, athletics is a great tool to help form kids, you know, emotionally, physically, socially, spiritually. And let's just make sure that's what we're doing. And you know what? If your kid's really talented and has a ton of intrinsic motivation, like a Joe Mauer or Chris Wanky or Larry Fitzgerald, you know, they're gonna be stars. But they're not gonna be stars because you put them on travel teams and got them a personal trainer and this and that. You know, I loved basketball. Basketball is my sport growing up. I thought I was gonna play at the NBA. I couldn't have worked any harder. I couldn't have been any intrinsically motivated anymore. But just guess what? I just wasn't good enough. You know, and that's okay. We all have our own talents. I mean, I found out I had a talent for just getting in people's way and parlayed that into a football
career. Yeah, and by the way, that motivation to play basketball probably paid big dividends in football with footwork and everything else, huh?
It did. Yeah, it did. You know what? It just helped stoke that fire in me, that, you know, love for sports, a love for being in the locker room, being with my friends, competing. You know, it was a pretty healthy environment. I never played on one travel team. I never made one all-star team. I never won a trophy growing up. And you know what? I mean, I'm not saying, well, that's how I played in the NFL. I'm just saying, as a kid, sports was vitally important to my development. And it can be a great tool for that for a lot of kids. But it's gotten a little bit too serious. So we just kind of want to try to take a step back and let parents know and coaches know, like, you know, it's okay. You don't have to subscribe to this crazy model of travel teams and trying to mold your kid into a Division I athlete when they're in fifth grade.
Yeah, and you don't have to quit just because they're not on the travel team that they want to be on.
You know, yeah, I mean, it's just all about doing, it's not about who's the best, it's about what's your best, you know, for each individual athlete. And you're going to look back 5 years from now, it's not going to matter who won or lost, but just that it was a positive experience and there was some personal growth that came from it.
This is just an opinion that I have as someone that's not living it. I just think that when we get so many games on the schedule, it just doesn't seem like there's enough room for skill development. Just by yourself or with, you know, just things that you got to work on. You know, it's so easy to try to cheat your bad habits to try to win a game and not really figure out how to play the game, and especially because you vary so much from coach to coach. You might have a guy that played in the NBA coaching your kid, or you might have somebody that's never played the game, but they love their kid, you know?
Yeah, you know, we're not letting kids figure it out on their own, and that slows down their problem solving skills. You know, there's not a lot of free play anymore. And then you look at too the stress that it's having on the family, especially if you have multiple kids and you feel like you have to subscribe to this model and you feel like peer pressure that you want to do right by your kid and get them on all these teams and it's really destructive and puts a lot of strain on just the family unit. And you know what? This whole athletics thing, I mean, it's kind of a race to nowhere. I mean, even Brian Bonnet said, I thought he said it great. You don't want your kid playing D1 athletics. You know, that's big business. That's a very transactional thing where those coaches are under a lot of pressure and they put a lot of pressure on the kids to perform it. It's not, in most cases, it's not a very healthy thing. So you kind of got to go back and say, you know, what are we doing here? What's really the goal and what's the eternal or everlasting things that we can take from this? And, you know, I mean, I think a Division I scholarship or professional career, you know, that may happen, but it's not going to happen because you play 200 games a year. I mean, talent has a lot to do with it and just the love for the game. And those things are, you know, those things are God given. They don't happen because you spend thousands of dollars on these travel teams.
Matt, appreciate it always. Look forward to seeing you at the Creighton Dereham Hall Hall of Fame night, and we will talk soon.
God willing, I'll be there, Matt.
All right, buddy. Appreciate you.
Bye.
You bet. Matt Burke, nice enough to join us. Sports the Max Draft Night on News Radio 830 WCCO. Minnesota Vikings are a long ways from being on the clock. Oh, how'd you like that when you come out on the field? Hear that song, you'd be ready to go a couple downs, huh? Frank Ragnow will join us around the corner. He will be the highest taken from the state of Minnesota in this upcoming NFL draft that's underway right now. An offensive lineman from Chanhassen, the University of Arkansas, who really his story is just so poignant. His father, his biggest fan, passed away of a sudden heart attack, massive heart attack last year watching him play, was at home watching him on TV. We'll visit with Frank around the corner. Plus, Ron Shira was out turkey hunting today with Mike Zimmer. I'm not kidding you. Gobble, gobble.
I can't lie, Maxie. I was hoping to miss Ron Shira completely.
What do you mean?
I, you know, by not working normally this shift, normally Hammer's here.
Yeah.
And I was hoping not to have to deal with Ron Shira, but now you're telling me I do.
You deal with him in a big way.
Oh, man.
And he's got this picture, and I don't know where they found this turkey. We'll find out. We'll find out. Same as. Stay with us. Ah, yes. Rocky. The real Rock. NFL draft going on as we speak. Minnesota Vikings are on, I think, pick number 14. Vikings are 34. Quarterbacks have been taken already, the four that you would expect. Baker Mayfield started at Cleveland Browns, took him number one overall. Josh Allen's off the board. He goes to Buffalo. Josh Rosen goes to Arizona. Away we go. Frank Ragnow is from the University of Arkansas in Chanhassen High School. And he's going to go somewhere sometime soon. But he's got a very interesting story to tell because of how he got to here tonight, this moment. We talked. Frank, draft day. What's it like as you've approached this? What's this been like for you?
It's been hectic. It's overwhelming at times. There's so many different things happening, so many places I'm going, so many people I'm meeting. But at the end of the day, it's a dream coming true, and we're almost there.
Explain what your visits have been like since you finished your eligibility. What has it been like? Where have you gone? What have you seen?
I mean, started off with the Senior Bowl. Got to go down there. I didn't get to play because of my ankle. Then we went from there, just started training some more, getting ready. Went to the Combine. My ankle still wasn't ready, but I did the interviews there and got to meet a lot of great people, do the medical stuff there and all the evals there. Then we kind of were coasting there, and then we had Pro Day. And Pro Day was where I got to show off my athletic ability, so that was great. And that's when it really starts picking up, which I didn't really realize. Then after that, I had 15 private workouts throughout this whole process. I visited Carolina, Cincinnati, Minnesota, and kind of just been all over the country and talking to all these people about myself. So it's been very fun.
Is it hard? Is it hard to stay up to think on your feet because it's just constant?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you're trying to be the best, so it takes a lot of energy out of you. I've been sleeping well, I'll tell you that, because, I mean, I'm trying to be on my A game all, or no matter who I'm around, just trying to impress as much as I can. So it's hard, but at the same time, I'd way rather be doing that than sitting behind a computer doing a desk job. So I'm not complaining at all.
That's a great perspective. When did you know, first of all, you're one of the few to go to the SEC for Minnesota? What did that feel like? Because it's not like you're following somebody there. It kind of came from nowhere.
Yeah, it was a big step for me. It was a hard step for me, leaving my parents and going far away from the University of Minnesota, which I love growing up. So it was tough, but I mean, I knew that I wanted – I've always had the dream of playing in the NFL, and I knew I wanted to compete against the best and the best, and I feel like the SEC defense alignment are something different. It's a different animal down there, so competing against them, I felt like that best prepared me for the draft, and here I am now getting ready for it, so it's worked out.
We were talking before, of course, there is a void because your father's not here. He died suddenly of a heart attack your junior year. He was not just your father. He was a great friend that got you here today. What does that mean to you?
I mean, it's bittersweet right now. There's really no words to describe it. I mean, you want to say that people understand, people have lost it, but it's different from every case to case. And we couldn't do him justice describing him. He's just he was a great man. He was my best friend, my biggest fan by far. And it's just bittersweet because, I mean, this is my dream, but this really was our dream. And just the fact that he's not going to be here, it's tough. It's tough to swallow.
And he would say what when he sees you get drafted?
I don't know what he would say. He would freak out. I think we'd be hugging like little girls for a while, but I know he might not be even saying anything to me. He'd be just kind of gloating, just being proud and telling the whole room how proud he is. And I don't even know if he'd say anything to me. It sucks, but it is what it is.
But you've also got a lot of family left. Your family of five and your mom and grandma's here and a girlfriend. You've got a lot of – you're surrounded by a lot of good people.
Yeah, I live a great life. I mean, besides my dad passing away, I've had the perfect life. I mean, I'm serious. I am one of the most blessed kids in the world, and I'm just blessed right now. I mean, I'm going to have my high school coaches with me, my mom, my grandma, my aunts, my uncles, my girlfriend, my brothers and sisters. I mean, I've got so many great people in my corner, and there's not much I can't really do that justice with any words. They're just amazing people. I'm very lucky.
And that would make your dad proud as well, Winnie, that you appreciate that.
Exactly. And he, I mean, a lot of these people are amazing because of him and just the impact he's had on us all. And it's a great family, the Ragnow family.
Frank Ragnow, awaiting his name to be selected in the NFL draft. So what does a head football coach of an NFL team do on draft day? Well, if you're Mike Zimmer, and maybe he wants to feel better later on, I don't know, you go turkey hunting. Now, there's nothing wrong going turkey hunting. That's a good idea. But to have Ron Shero as one of your guides? Wow, he really is a glutton for punishment. I suppose after he's done, Ron, he probably figured, well, things have got to get better today.
Are you done?
Tell me about this trip in the woods today.
Well, I'll tell you about the trip in the woods. First of all, he surprised me. He said he was considering drafting you.
Yeah.
As a drawback.
As a drawback.
Yeah. And if you'd work for nothing, which I said you would. No, I tell you what, it was, I had never met the coach before, and so at like 4:30 in the morning, we shook hands and so got to meet him that way. And then later on, we had a chance to chat at times. But he's an avid outdoor guy, and he's an avid hunter. And here's something he revealed, which I didn't know, and I guess really probably no secrets, just one of those little tidbits, Max. He has a tradition of trying to go turkey hunting on draft day.
Yeah, I know he did it in the past, not to say that, but I didn't realize it was a tradition.
Yeah, he said this is something he just strives to do, and but he thoroughly enjoys turkey hunting, enjoys a lot of different kind of hunting, and we also talked about how his eye situation.
Yeah, you guys have had a similar path that way.
Yeah, we both have had catch retinas, and so we did talk about that. I found out actually his eye, his shooting eye, well, the same thing happened to my shooting eye, but his his actually, it seems, is a worse case because he has kind of real cloudy vision in that eye, where my vision is out of focus, but I can, up close with my right eye, I could still tie a fishing knot. And
really?
Yeah, I told him that, you know, when I look through a scope with my shooting eye, I can still see like the old days. He said that does not work for him, and so he actually taught himself now to shoot left-handed.
Did he really?
Yeah, and I just thought I was too old to do that, but he you know, it's a struggle, but he was an avid bow hunter. He said he had to give up bow hunting because you can't see the bow sight. So
sure.
Anyway. Life goes
on. So I saw four guys in the picture and one turkey taken.
Well, you got to read the fine print. That was a turkey tail that we used for a decoy.
Oh, so, I didn't see that.
Yeah. So
where were the actual birds that you harvested?
They're still sitting out in a tree right now. we actually had a wonderful morning with a lot of gobbling and. I'd say three or four times I thought for sure Tom was going to come in, but as I told Travis Frank, who Travis kind of helped set this up, our problem this morning was there were too darn many turkeys. And when you have that, you know, they're calling to each other in the dark in the morning and they come down on the ground. Well, then they seem that they want to get together. And when you're just a lone hen down there calling from a distance, they'll gobble to you, but you know, they have company, and so they're not concerned that they have to run down and say hello to you, which is what you're striving them to do. But
did you see any, or just hear them?
Yes, no, we saw them. We didn't see any the big times. We saw some jakes and saw some deer. What else did we see? Critters, owls hooting. It was. You know, this is close to the cities, and this is some of the stuff you run into when you hunt near a metropolis. The gobblers and all the turkeys, the hens chatting, yakking away, and by the time they were going to fly down, we think a helicopter came over. It may have been the WCCO helicopter with you in it. I don't know.
We were trying to find you guys.
Well, you screwed up the turkeys because they, instead of flying down where they normally do, they flew a different direction. So that may have sealed our fate. But getting back to the coach, I found him a very pleasant guy, and he liked to talk outdoors. And, you know, unlike, you know, people like you that want to talk about jockstrap stuff all the time.
Well, did he know who you were or not?
Of course he did. Of course
he did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Why are you surprised at that?
I just am asking. I didn't know.
I mentioned your name, and he said, "Who?" You know.
I hope you gave him a Sid Hartman story or two.
No, I tried to defend you. I said, "Yeah." You know,
I you bet you to... did.
I did. I said, "You and I do a radio show together, and that you shot a duck 5 years ago. We talk about it every fall." And
gee, thanks for defending me. Hey, I got to tell you, though, on another note, a week from Saturday, it will not be, but the crappie fishing tournament, your own at Minnetonka, is going to have a different date.
Yes, our Minnesota Bound Crappie Contest, we decided to move it to May 19th. It's 2 weeks back from where it was scheduled, May 5th. I don't think, even if the ice goes off of Minnetonka by May 5th, it will be real close if it does. And we figured that, you know, the water's going to be cold. If you get a little wind, the kids and families won't have a good time out there. So we'll wait until May 19th, and the crappies will still be biting. So
but it's the same format?
Same format, and you're certainly welcome come there. Our investigation...
I'll probably just get up late, come there, win it, and then come back. I'll spend 15, 20 minutes on the water probably before I get her done.
We have a special investigator still looking at your deal, sort of like Trump and Russia and all that stuff in Washington.
Same kind of thing, huh?
Yeah, we're looking at your claim of catching a giant crappie. And
yeah, it was a cold day a few years ago when I braved the shores of Lake Minnetonka.
You braved it long enough to beg a fish on that's what we're discovering. But anyway.
But it's the same sponsors. It's the same setup. It's at the same place. Lord Fletcher's, all that.
Right, you still have to register. You can do that online, or you can do it right at the site, or you can do it at some Mills Fleet Farm stores. And we have lots of prizes, including a very nice aluminum craft boat and trailer and Evinrude outboard that will go to not the biggest crappie, but a secret weight crappie. So it could be anybody could win this. And I don't know the secret weight. Somebody does, but they don't tell me till it's about over. And we keep a record of who caught it. And then we also have gift cards for the folks that both the children and youth and adults and who catch the biggest crappie. So some nice gift cards from Mills Fleet Farm and others. So everybody wins. Some people can get an awfully nice vacation trip to Canada just for showing up. So there you go.
Well, I know you wanted to send me on a couple of vacation trips, too.
There's a lot of places I'd like to send you.
Hey, did you tell those guys about the picture of the turkey that I showed you that I got?
Yes, I did. I did tell the coach about that.
Yeah.
He was impressed.
Yeah.
Especially when I told him you picked it up and took it home and cooked it.
Yeah, so the right tire. That was the key. It was the right front tire I got it with.
I told him I've never had roadkill turkey.
And I didn't have to get up at 4:30 in the morning to do it either. All right, Ron. You and I will do it Saturday morning, and then again next Wednesday.
Yeah, you figure that. Is it next Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, we'll look forward to it, and we'll be on this Saturday morning, and I'll, of course, provide most of the leadership in that.
Thanks for staying awake for us. I know at your age this is a late hour, so thank you.
All right, thank you for having me on, Max.
Ron Sherrill, Live Outdoors. Spent the morning hunting turkeys with Mike Zimmer. That's a pretty good day. The Maplewood Toyota time is 8:49. Minnesota Vikings still a ways away from picking. Flurry of quarterbacks taken early. And Al Malmberg, I don't know how they feel in this about this in Colorado, but
they nabbed
supposedly a pretty good defensive lineman by the name of Bradley Chubb out of North Carolina State. The Broncos did with the 5th pick overall.
Yeah, you know, from what I've been reading about Chubb, I immediately jumped on the computer, of course. The guy's a phenomenal defensive lineman. I think most people were expecting Josh Allen to be picked. At least I know I was.
He's not that far away there in Wyoming.
No. In fact, I saw Chubb play 3 games this past season. And he's Josh Allen's a phenomenal quarterback. And the feeling was is that, you know, they signed Case Keenum. Was it a 1-year deal, I believe it was?
I don't know if it was a 1 or 2, but yeah.
Yeah, but it was a short-term deal, so the feeling was is that they were going to pick one of these quarterbacks. And the word was that John Elway really, really liked Josh Allen. So when Chubb was selected, I went, well, that's interesting.
That's peculiar, huh?
Yeah. It was sort of like the when the Vikings, you know, passed over Marcus Allen and picked Darren Nelson, and we all went, who?
Yeah. Yeah. We liked Darren and everything, but
yeah,
he wasn't
yeah,
Marcus.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I mean, we were surprised. I mean,
yeah.
I just remember that. I mean, when Marcus Allen was passed over, I don't recall who picked before us that year, and we all went, we've got Marcus Allen.
Yeah, sitting there.
Yeah. And you know, Darren Nelson, yeah, he, you know, I remember the explanation was is that Darren Nelson would be better on the turf.
Yeah, and in the Viking offense, catching the ball,
yeah.
They thought. Yep.
Right, yep, I remember that. But, you know, I mean, you put Chubb on the same line as Von Miller and,
ooh,
you know,
yeah.
you've got yourself a pretty good force going on defense. You know,
oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Denver, man, they go crazy for things like the draft, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
It really is. And what's this that you've got one duck in 5 years?
Can you believe he says stuff? That's what I have to put up with on a weekly basis from Ron Shearer, you know?
I'm sitting here in the studio, and I'm laughing so hard.
He forgot about the other one I got.
What was that, 10 years ago?
Yeah. But he'll never give me credit for that one. You know what I did yesterday?
No.
Because he's out turkey hunting in the Black Hills and he can't get any. And I'm driving by New Ulm to give a speech, and on the side of the road, there's a dead turkey. So I got out of my car and took a picture with it in my suit. And I sent it to him, and I said, I don't know why you go all the way to the Black Hills with a shotgun. My right tire does just fine.
I heard you guys talking about that.
Yeah, it's hard to take a selfie of a wild turkey.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. You needed somebody with you to hold it up next to you.
Exactly, and I didn't have that, so it was hard. I had to kind of lean over, but Ron got the point. Yeah.
What a sad loss for the Twins today.
Oh, Alex. The one good thing about the draft is we haven't had to talk about it.
Oh, unbelievable.
I mean, that's just, all of a sudden it was just bing, bing, boom, game over. And you go, what happened?
You're up three runs.
Flirting with a no-hitter.
Three runs. Bases loaded. Bam. Over. Jeez.
That one ouches. That's seven straight, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what is it with the Yankees?
I don't know, but when they go to Yankee Stadium, and you can change the players and the uniforms numbers, but it's about the same going back for the last 15 years.
It's just frustrating. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, the Vikings, when the Twins play the Yankees in the playoffs, it's like, oh, no.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we're snake bitten.
Like last year, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it is frustrating.
Yeah.
So is there going to be a fishing opener, or is it going to be an ice fishing opener?
Hey, we got Dave Lee on the line jumping in.
You're kidding.
No.
Hey, Maxie, how about this? Al Monberg comes to town, very secret. You know.
Oh, I never knew about it until he was gone.
No, Kim Jong-un takes the train to Beijing.
Yeah.
Everybody knows about that. And
yep.
That Al Monberg, even a bigger star.
Yep.
All of a sudden, he decides that he can't give us a call. I know about you, Matt.
Yeah, I'm like you, Dave. I found out about it after he was back in Denver.
You know, and you get scoops like nobody else, and that's just amazing.
Nope, I had no clue. No clue. And of all people, the Hammer delivered the message to me.
Oh, that's that. You know,
that hurt always, even more, Dave.
He's always tattling that Hammer. Gotta talk to that guy. Gotta talk to him.
Hey, we got 7 seconds left. I'll join Dave at 7:40 tomorrow. Al, have a great show.
Thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.